This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for October 1st, 2010. I'm Natalie Pincham. Topics covered in the articles published online this week and featured in this podcast are stereotactic radiosurgery and vascular disorders. Anatomical triangles defining surgical routes to posterior inferior cerebellar artery aneurysms. A clinical article by Ana Rodriguez Hernandez and Michael Lawton. Surgical routes to posterior inferior cerebellar artery, or PICA, aneurysms are opened between the vagus, accessory, and hypoglossal nerves for clipping, but these routes have not been systematically defined. The authors describe three anatomical triangles and their relationship with PICA aneurysms. The vago-accessory triangle is defined by the vagus nerve superiorly, the accessory nerve laterally, and the medulla medially. It is divided by the hypoglossal nerve into the suprahypoglossal triangle and the infrahypoglossal triangle. In a surgical series of 51 PICA aneurysms, 43 were inside the vago-accessory triangle and 8 were outside. Of those inside the vago-accessory triangle, 51% were exposed through the suprahypoglossal triangle and 44% were exposed through the infrahypoglossal triangle. The PICA aneurysms were evenly distributed between the anterior medullary, lateral medullary, and tonsillomedullary zones. The authors conclude that triangles and zones clarify the borders of operative corridors to PICA aneurysms and define the dissection depth through the cranial nerves. Deep dissection to aneurysms in the anterior medullary zone traverses cranial nerves 10, 11, and 12, whereas shallow dissection to aneurysms in the lateral medullary zone traverses cranial nerves 10 and 11. Posterior inferior cerebellar artery aneurysms outside the vagoaccessory triangle are frequently distal and superficial to the lower cranial nerves, and associated surgical morbidity is minimal. Angiography preoperatively localizes a PICA aneurysm's triangular anatomy based on the distal PICA origin or distal aneurysm location. Correlation of thin fibrous cap possessing adipofillin-positive macrophages and intraplaque hemorrhage with high clinical risk for carotid endarterectomy. A clinical article by Hiroyuko Hao and co-authors. Carotid endarterectomy and stenting appear to be effective treatments for carotid artery stenosis. However, neurological morbidity after treatment of carotid artery stenosis, particularly carotid artery stenting, is well known. In a previous study, the authors described the outcome of carotid endarterectomy and stenting in patients classified according to the carotid endarterectomy risk classification system outlined by Sundt and colleagues. They had found a high incidence of neurological morbidity and an increased number of lesions on MR imaging after carotid artery stenting in high-risk groups. The authors state that it is possible to predict the high prevalence of unstable plaques with greater embolic potential in high-risk groups by using the classification system, but no reports relate the histopathological features of endarterectomy specimens to the classification system. In this current study, the authors demonstrated that plaques obtained from patients with medical comorbidities, such as ischemic heart disease, were similar to plaques obtained from patients who were neurologically unstable, in that both groups of patients had a thin fibrous cap with an enhanced degree of intraplaque hemorrhage. These results suggest a role of intraplaque hemorrhage in plaque progression and support clinical evidence of a higher incidence of neurological morbidity after stenting procedures in high-risk groups. The author's clinical and histopathological observations of carotid artery plaques indicated that carotid artery stenting in high-risk patients requires careful evaluation of the plaque characteristics. Carotid artery imaging to detect plaques with high embolic potential is important for optimal decision-making for the treatment of patients with carotid artery stenosis. Based on the results of the current study, the authors recommend that in cases in which there is thin fibrous cap atheroma with prominent intraplaque hemorrhage, carotid artery stenting should be avoided and carotid endarterectomy should be performed instead. Stereotactic radiosurgery as primary and salvage treatment for brain metastases from breast cancer. A clinical article by Douglas Konziolka and colleagues. The development of one or more brain metastases in a patient with breast cancer is an ominous event. Treatment options include resection, whole brain radiotherapy, and stereotactic radiosurgery, either alone or in combination. Historically, breast carcinoma has been considered to be a relatively radiosensitive tumor. Recently, however, the role of whole brain radiotherapy has been called into question because of the risk of delayed neurocognitive dysfunction in longer-term survivors. From a database of more than 9,700 radiosurgery patients, the authors identified 350 women with brain metastasis from breast cancer. Radiosurgery had been performed with the Lexel Gamma Knife. Overall survival after radiosurgery was 69% at 6 months, 49% at 12 months, and 26% at 24 months. Factors associated with a longer survival included controlled extracranial disease, lower recursive partitioning analysis class, higher Karnofsky performance scale score, smaller number of brain metastases, smaller total tumor volume per patient, the presence of deep cerebral or brainstem metastases, and HER2-NOI overexpression. Sustained local tumor control was achieved in 90% of the patients. Factors associated with a longer progression-free survival included a better recursive partitioning analysis class, fewer brain metastases, a smaller total tumor volume per patient, and a higher tumor margin dose. Symptomatic adverse radiation effects occurred in 6% of patients. Overall, 82% of patients improved or remained neurologically stable. The authors conclude that stereotactic radiosurgery is an effective treatment option for primary and recurrent brain metastases from breast cancer with unique advantages over whole brain radiotherapy. Radiosurgery provides early and safe brain tumor management for the majority of presenting patients and allows extracranial treatment to continue uninterrupted. However, total survival is related to the control of extracranial disease. Tamoxifen as an effective neuroprotectant in an endovascular canine model of stroke. A laboratory investigation by Alan Boulos and co-workers. Tamoxifen has been shown to be a potent neuroprotectant against stroke in rodents. Because other neuroprotectant medications have failed in human trials, a study of tamoxifen in a large animal model was necessary to further assess the drug's effectiveness. The authors report on research conducted at Albany Medical Center showing tamoxifen to be an effective neuroprotectant for ischemic stroke in dogs. For this study, the authors developed an endovascular canine model of anterior circulation infarction. The ICA terminus bifurcation was selected because stroke at this site in humans produces consistent neurological deficits and a high mortality rate of 80%. Clots were injected into the dogs to occlude the ICA terminus and to mimic the human clinical stroke condition. The MR imaging and histological pictures demonstrated consistent large vessel infarction that was universally fatal. Once the canine model proved reliable by consistently producing a severe life-threatening anterior circulation stroke, the authors examined tamoxifen in a blinded, randomized study. As hypothesized, tamoxifen proved to be a potent neuroprotectant in large animals. The sizes of the infarcts, as measured on MR imaging and histological studies, were significantly smaller in the tamoxifen group. More importantly, the tamoxifen-treated dogs were clinically improved. They were walking and responsive, whereas those in the control group were comatose. This study is the first documentation of tamoxifen's effectiveness to reduce stroke size in large mammals. This study also introduces a reliable endovascular canine stroke model for stroke research. Thank you for listening. Sign up in iTunes to get all our weekly podcasts delivered straight to you. To read all the articles published by the JNSPG this week, or to visit our podcast archive, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.